Welcome back to State of the FBS, another great week of college football. Obviously, the rankings dropped this week, so we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the rankings. We're going to preview this upcoming week, going to cut back on the breakdown just a little bit for this week, mainly go over the conferences that are in the playoff conversation that still have big races right now. So a little bit shorter on that side, but I really wanted to get into the rankings this week. So let's actually talk about those first. And Oregon at number one. Don't think that's surprising anyone, but Ohio State at two over Georgia. I know some people don't like that very much. I'm personally very fine with it. Georgia's one loss is Alabama, who is a lot further down the rankings than Ohio State's one loss, which is number one undefeated Oregon. So I don't really see a problem with that at all. And then Indiana at number eight behind Tennessee. I personally would swap those two, but again, does it really matter? Because they would play each other in the first round anyways if they stay seventh and eighth. But I think most of the top 10 looks good. I think that A&M is the team that we would have said was a bit down low, but then they went out and got their brains beat in by South Carolina. So I think they're now absolutely fine where they deserve to be. Ole Miss, I think, is also fine. Heard some people talking about them. Maybe they should be higher, but I think Ole Miss is fine right where they are. Kansas State and Colorado, I think Colorado might be a little bit too low. Actually, it's 6-2. They're playing really good football. I would take them over Pitt, Iowa State, and they already beat Kansas State this year. So I think they did not beat Kansas State. I think I would take them over Pitt or Iowa State. So I would maybe move both of those teams above. But then Washington State at 21, absolutely fine. They've played who they can play. I like that they put Louisville right ahead of Clemson, 22-23. Louisville just beat them. That's only fair. They did it with other teams as well. A&M right ahead of LSU, 14-15. I like when they do that. So that's something you see from the AP poll they usually get wrong, where they'll leave two teams right next to each other and one has a win over the other. And you're like, well, if you're going to put them right next to each other, put the one that beat the other ahead. But Missouri at 24, I think, is the worst thing in this ranking. I do not think this is a ranked quality team. I know they're 6-2, but they've looked awful versus every quality opponent they've played. They got obliterated by A&M. They got obliterated by Alabama. They needed a miracle comeback to beat Auburn at home. Missouri is not a ranked team, in my opinion. I would have loved to see Vanderbilt in that spot, move Army up to 24, stick Vandy in at 25. I know Missouri has beaten Vanderbilt, but also if you put those two teams on the field, who do you think wins? It's not Missouri, especially with Drew Pine at quarterback. And if you're going to take off for an injured quarterback for Florida State last year, you got to do it for every team. And Missouri with Drew Pine is lucky to be a top 50 team in college football, much less top 25. So that's really my biggest issue. Moving forward, as far as where teams can go, I think Kansas State has some upward momentum chance because they still get to play Iowa State. Obviously, the Big 12 champion is going to be a little weird, BYU being the only Big 12 team in the top 10 right now at number 9. I think Colorado, Kansas State, and BYU all still have a chance to win this league. I could see any of those three teams doing it. Kansas State just keeps shooting themselves in the foot. They had the loss to Houston this past week. Avery Johnson continues to struggle with turnovers, and they can't seem to quite put it all together out there. And Iowa State, I figured they would finally lose. I've been talking about it every week. I feel like they finally go out and lose to Texas Tech, as I predicted there. So Texas Tech, I think, is another quality team. The Big 12, it just feels like they don't have necessarily a great team, but they have a lot of good teams that all beat up on each other all year, and it kind of gets them in trouble. But then Miami for the ACC, still at the top at number 5. Their main challenger a lot of this season has been Clemson, or at least main projected challenger. Clemson, obviously, with the loss to Louisville, no longer controls their own destiny in the ACC. If SMU wins out, SMU is in the title game. And since Miami and SMU don't play each other, that could easily be your ACC title game matchup. How about SMU in their first year in the ACC being undefeated in conference play? And they beat up on Pitt this past week. Very impressive from the Mustangs. But yeah, this ranking I don't think is too bad overall. I think there have been much worse ones. And I'm curious to see how this plays out as we move forward. Let's dive in here to the past week of college football. And number one, Oregon took care of business versus Michigan. Not a close game. Michigan's not very good. Georgia against Florida. I think if DJ Lagway doesn't get hurt in this game, Georgia is in trouble. The Florida offense looked dynamic with him in the game. Once Aiden Warner came in, they kind of stopped moving the ball completely. The Georgia offense couldn't get anything going. Carson Beck kept throwing interceptions. And the only reason this is a 14-point game is because Georgia scored a late touchdown in this game. So I think if you see a full game of DJ Lagway, you see a Georgia team that's in trouble here big time. And that's an encouraging sign for Florida moving forward. I know that Lagway is obviously hurt now, but still only listed as questionable for Texas. So if he comes back, I would be surprised. But great fight from Lagway in Georgia. It's the same thing with Beck every week. Beck needs to quit turning the ball over. It's really costing Georgia every week. And I know they were able to get away with it at Texas, and that's because Quinn Ewers also committed some charitable acts, but they need to figure out how to not turn the ball over. If you play like that versus an Oregon or an Ohio State, I don't think it's going to fly at all. Speaking of Ohio State, they took down Penn State at Penn State. The stoppable force of James Franklin versus the movable object of Ryan Day in this one. And Ryan Day and Ohio State comes out on top. Ohio State just is the better team. I don't know what that play call is from Penn State to end the game at all. Do not understand that. But if you look at Ohio State here, Will Howard didn't have necessarily the greatest game of all time. And Penn State, a lot of reliance on Tyler Warren, who has been one of the better tight ends in college football. I know we've talked about Harold Fannin, and it feels like every week Eli Stowers, but Tyler Warren is right up there in that top three, in my opinion. They're all incredible players, and for Penn State, this felt like a team that had a shot to at least beat Ohio State, and you wonder if you can ever reach that ceiling with James Franklin. But on the other hand, if you fire James Franklin, who are you going to get that's better immediately? You're kind of in a really tough spot there for Penn State, so I think you just have to ride it out and hope it changes, not that I think it will. Miami took down Duke. This is a very close game for a lot of it. Duke actually had a halftime lead, but Miami came back. Defense forced some turnovers, quality clutch play down the stretch. Your surprise game of the week, though, Texas A&M traveling to Columbia, South Carolina to take on the Gamecocks, and they got waxed. South Carolina absolutely destroyed them, 44-20. The A&M offense looked lost for most of the game, did not score a single second-half point. If you don't do that, you're never going to win games, especially not in the SEC, especially not at night. Rocket Sanders, this is the kind of guy you thought you were getting when he transferred in from Arkansas, 144 yards, 2 touchdowns. Lenora Sellers over 100 yards on the ground. This South Carolina run game looked very good in this game, and if they keep playing like this the rest of the season, they're going to have even more teams in trouble. And after what I saw from Clemson this past week, I would start to get maybe a little worried, because if Cade Klubnik is under duress all the time versus Kyle Kennard and Dylan Stewart, he might make some mistakes. Clemson might be in a little bit of trouble there, but we'll have to see how that plays out. Texas Tech knocking off Iowa State. This is my upset pick of the week. I was kind of for no reason a huge Iowa State hater this season. I just feel like they were very overrated, and so wanted to see them lose. But Baron Morton played solid football for Texas Tech. Texas Tech comes out on top here. Tosh Brooks, also an incredible player for the Red Raiders. Then we mentioned the Clemson-Louisville game. Tigers going down, or not going down to Louisville. They losing to Louisville. Louisville came to Death Valley. But still, this game, 33-21. The Clemson offense looked a little bit out of sorts for a lot of this game. Isaac Brown is a very, very good running back for Louisville. And you think about this Clemson team, this is a team that had so much hype coming into the season. You lose to Georgia early, then you start obliterating other teams. And people are going, oh, well, maybe they're back. Maybe Clemson's back. And then to come out and lose this game to what frankly just looked like a better Louisville team, not a step in the right direction for the Tigers at all. It really feels demoralizing. Indiana obliterated Michigan State after going down 10-0 early. They rebounded 47-10, and Kirk Cignetti was unhappy the entire way. That's what great college coaches are like. He looked like he wanted to mess up his players over there on the sideline, but still, Indiana playing great football right now. Then the big upset of the week in the Big 12, even bigger than the Texas Tech-Iowa State one, was Kansas State losing to previously 3-5 Houston. And this Kansas State turnover problem is a massive issue. They're struggling to move the ball and turning it over, and when you do both of those things, you're not going to win many football games. Houston has been a sneaky good team this year. They've kept in games with a lot of teams, but still, it's not a team, if you're Kansas State, you can be losing to. I don't care if it's on the road or not, you cannot be losing to Houston, but they did, 24-19. The ACC game of the week was Pitt at SMU. SMU obliterated the Panthers. Kevin Jennings played very solid football in this game. And Pitt just kind of struggled to move the ball. Still slightly banged up Eli Holstein. Don't know how much that affected things. But yeah, Pitt's ACC hopes, I think, at this point are done. Then Ole Miss finally decided to show up to the season. They murdered Arkansas 63-31. And everyone's talking about Jackson Dart. How about the game from Jordan Watkins? 8 receptions, 254 yards, and 5 touchdowns. 5 touchdowns as a receiver and over 200 yards. They're both insane. School record for Ole Miss there, and Jackson Dart as well, 515 yards, 6 touchdowns. This is the potential you thought you had in Ole Miss at the start of the season. You wonder how much of it is transfer guys really taking time to all gel with each other as you move through a full season like that. But regardless, the full version of Ole Miss, I think, is here. And if you would have seen this team at the start of the season, who knows what they could have done. But Great opportunity versus Georgia this week. We'll see if they can capitalize. But that is it for your Week 10 recap. Let's go ahead and move it on over to the quick conference breakdowns. Starting, as always, in the SEC, there's a possibility for an 8-way tie at the top of this conference right now, which would be absolutely absurd, but a lot of good football being played. Georgia back on top now. Texas A&M right behind them. Still only one conference loss, even though it was a pretty bad one to South Carolina. Tennessee and Texas, LSU, all with one conference loss as well. The Texas versus Texas A&M game is going to be huge the last week of the season. I think whoever wins that game is into the SEC title game along with Georgia. I just don't think Tennessee is good enough to take a fight to Georgia, especially this year. The Tennessee offense has not looked great under Nico Iamaleava. They've struggled a little bit. It's really been Dylan Sampson or nothing, and I think Georgia has the ability to slow down Dylan Sampson. LSU-Alabama this week I think is a huge game that means nothing, which is a little bit weird, but I don't think either of those teams will be able to get into the SEC title game at the end of the year, so it's big for playoff at large bid, maybe, but as far as making it to Atlanta, I don't think either of those teams are capable of doing so. Vanderbilt would need to win out and have help, but the fact they're even in that situation tells you what a job Clark Lee has done there this season. Diego Pavia playing great football for the Commodores. Ole Miss technically still with a shot as well, but with them welcoming Georgia to town this weekend, I just don't see it. I think they dropped that game, but still hope, I guess, there. Bottom of the conference still looks as it has for most of the year. Oklahoma, Auburn, Kentucky, Mississippi State down there. Florida just above those guys. I do think there's a marked difference, though, between Florida and these other four teams. Florida at least has hope right now. Although they did just say Billy Napier is coming back next season. I'm curious to see how that affects recruiting. But the DJ Lagwe, Jaden Baugh combination for Florida is probably two of the best young players on any of these four teams. Kentucky, obviously, Berrien Brown is great. Auburn has Jarquez Hunter. Jay Crawford's been playing incredibly as a true freshman corner for the Tigers as well. But just a few bright spots on these bottom-dwelling teams. Missouri, I think this is a lost season for them. You came into the season with potentially even SEC championship hopes and have proceeded to go 2-2 in the conference to start with blowout losses. So very disappointing for them. I would say if I had to pick who goes to Atlanta right now, it is Georgia and Texas A&M still. I think that Texas A&M getting home field advantage versus Texas is huge. I think they capitalize on it, and I think Georgia's going to beat Tennessee, so still give me the Dogs and the Aggies in Atlanta at the end of the season. Quick Big Ten breakdown here. Just really the main thing this weekend was Ohio State and Penn State. Buckeyes knocking off the Nittany Lions. Penn State with their first conference loss. Those two teams now sit at 4-1 in the conference. Oregon and Indiana still up top. And I think Indiana beats Ohio State this year. I think Indiana's beat teams more convincingly. They play with more heart. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but they just play like they want to win the game more than Ohio State does. Ohio State has a tendency to sleepwalk through some of these games, and I don't think Indiana's going to be that way. I think Indiana knocks off the Buckeyes, plays Oregon in the Big Ten title game. I think both those teams are playoff teams. I think Ohio State is a playoff team as well, regardless, even if they lose to Indiana. They'll probably be like maybe an 8 or a 9 seed in that case, but still a very, very solid team. Penn State's probably going to be right on the fringe. I personally would not let them in the playoffs just because I don't like them very much. I think they're consistently underwhelming, and a consistently underwhelming team is only going to do one thing in the playoffs, and that's lose. So I kind of don't see the point for them to be there. Iowa and Minnesota are now the next two teams in the conference. Illinois is kind of falling off a cliff. They just lost to Minnesota. They're really struggling. Wisconsin, too, has started struggling again big time. Rutgers back to the bottom of this conference after a 4-0 start of the season. And Purdue is still Purdue. But that's kind of your outlook on the Big Ten right now. I think that Oregon is still the best team in this conference. I would expect them to win it. Indiana, I think, can at least give them a fight, but the talent that the Ducks have all over the place, especially at the receiver position with Evan Stewart and Tez Johnson, they've both been playing good football this year. The Ducks are just so high-powered, I have a hard time seeing how anyone's going to stop them as we move through the rest of the year. I know Ohio State did for a little bit, but still, I think Oregon is a very, very good team this year. As far as the Big 12, this is probably the craziest conference in the country this season with so many teams that you think could win it at any given time and teams falling off the face of a cliff again later. BYU, still the only undefeated team in conference. Iowa State, Colorado, both 4-1. Kansas State, Texas Tech, 4-2. Those are your teams that, in my eyes, still have a chance to make the title game. Texas Tech and Kansas State obviously going to need some help. I think that Kansas State will make its own help in the fact that they can beat Iowa State at the end of the year, but Colorado has been playing very good football. They do have a tripping point this week, though. They take on Texas Tech. I think that's going to be a very fun game. You'll hear a little bit more about it in the picks section later, but I think it's a very fun, high-scoring matchup. I do think that BYU is a shoe-in, pretty much, for the conference title game, although now that I've said that, knowing the Big 12, they'll go out and lose by 50 this week, so we'll have to see what happens there. All these teams have been very fun to watch. It's been a hyper-competitive league. You have teams at the bottom that everyone thought would be great at the start of the year, like Oklahoma State, who is 0-6 in the conference now. Arizona's 1-5 in the conference. Utah, I know Cam Rising got hurt, but 1-4 in the conference. Kansas, 1-4. People thought they could be a sleeper. So a lot of these teams that people thought would be right up there are nowhere. And that's left room for these BYUs, Colorados, Texas Techs to be up here at the top of the conference, which has been really fun this season. And I know from the stuff I've seen on the channel, a lot of you guys have been enjoying the Big 12 stuff. So keep watching Big 12 football. Keep tuning into the breakdown. Hopefully I can make it entertaining for you guys each week. Then finally, on the Power Conference side, it is the ACC, and it is still Miami all day, every day right now for me. I think SMU could give them a good game. I think the struggles of the Miami defense would really show in that game. I think Kevin Jennings would dice them up a little bit, but at this point, the more I watch Miami, the more I go, okay, is Cam Ward just going to throw for 600 yards and 6 touchdowns? If Miami gives up 60 points, he might, and this Miami offense is so good that I feel like they can bail them out of almost any situation. You wonder how long that can continue. It kind of feels like 2014 Baylor TCU, those vibes of those teams where just the defense wasn't much to talk about, but the offense would outplay the other team every single week, put up highlight numbers, and Cam Ward's playing incredible football. Clemson, we mentioned the loss to Louisville. They now sit third in the conference, no longer control their own destiny because of the way the ACC works with no divisions. Pitt at 3-1 in the conference, Louisville 4-2. Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, all in a row there. I think those are three teams no one really wants to play if you're an ACC squad. They can all be pretty spooky, and I don't think they're fun to play at all. And Miami actually gets Georgia Tech this week, so we'll see how the Hurricanes play in that one. If I had to guess, it'll probably be something like 49-35, knowing these two teams. But ACC, still Miami at the top, SMU trying to make a run. I think that at this point, this is a one-bid league for the playoffs, unless SMU gets lucky with other teams losing, because let's be honest, if SMU goes into the playoffs with the same ranking as, say, a Tennessee or an LSU, who's the committee putting in? It's going to be the SEC team, regardless of how you feel about that. That's just how the committee works when it comes to stuff like that. So expect to see SMU, I think, miss the playoffs unless they win the ACC title game versus Miami. Going to do a quick little Group of Five roundup this week. Army still ranked. They are one of the only Group of Five teams ranked in this poll right now. They are 6-0 in their conference, 8-0 overall in the American. I think Tulane still has a shot to dethrone them at the end of the year. The Green Wave have been playing very solid football. Mekhi Hughes is a great running back for them. He is really imposing his will on multiple teams. Looks to be playing great football. No one wants to play North Texas because it's an absolute headache. Chandler Morris will throw for 500 and they'll lose by 15 because that's how North Texas football works, but it's never fun to play that kind of team if you're their opponent. Conference USA, Western Kentucky still at the top. Jacksonville State, though, 4-0 in the conference as well. Sam Houston State, 4-1. That should be a good battle down the stretch between those three teams. TJ Finley and Western Kentucky have been playing solid football so far this year. They have one of the weirder mascots in college football, but I guess it's working for them. They pull one of these seasons out of the bag every couple years. You saw it with Bailey Zappi a few years ago, and now they're playing good football again. Quick little stop at the Independents. Notre Dame still 7-1. They're ranked number 10. I'm probably going to throw Notre Dame in like the Big Ten ACC breakdown from here on out because I feel like that's who they're playing every week. But solid football from the Irish so far. They are 7-1, ranked number 10. Would be a playoff team if the season ended today. In the MAC, there's a lot of teams tied at 4-1. Miami of Ohio, regular Ohio, Bowling Green, and Western Michigan. And I still think Bowling Green wins this conference. They are the best team in it. They took Penn State and Texas A&M to the wire this season. Harold Fannin is a freak. I feel like every week I'm talking about Harold Fannin's so good. Harold Fannin's so good, but it's true. This is one of the more fun players in college football. Not really a traditional tight end. You're going to see him more in that H-back style, but he plays incredible football, super athletic, and it's just too good for the MAC. Plain and simple, too good for the MAC. In the Mountain West, Boise State is the best Group of Five team this year. Committee ranked them at number 12, which I want to say is the highest ever for a one-loss Group of Five team to start the college football rankings. I think that's correct, but Boise State at number 12 is very, very impressive. Obviously, the only one loss is to Oregon, who is the number one team in the country, and they gave Oregon pretty much all they could handle. So, Boise State at the top of this conference, tied with 4-0 Colorado State in the conference. They're 6-3 overall, though. They could pose a threat at the end of the year. This team has played spoiler before. UNLV is still playing solid football. San Diego State is another good team, but there's good talent at the top of this Mountain West, so I don't think Boise can just coast through by any means. You're still going to need to bring your best every week. As far as the Pac-2, Washington State still sits at 7-1. They are ranked number 21 in the playoff rankings. Oregon State is doing nothing out there because Jonathan Smith and Aiden Childs left, and now they have no good talent. Finally, in the Sun Belt, Georgia Southern leads the East Division at 4-1. Louisiana leads the West Division at 4-0. UL Monroe has kind of fallen off a cliff. They were 3-0 in the conference. They now sit at 3-2 after a couple bad losses. The offense led by General Booty is starting to sputter a little bit. And in a couple weeks, they come to Jordan-Hare Stadium and play Auburn. So you would expect another loss there, though with how Auburn's been this season, you cannot always be sure. But Arkansas State, South Alabama, both in the West Division playing solid football as well. In the East, I think it's pretty much Georgia Southern's at this point. Marshall only half a game back, so maybe the Thundering Herd can get in there as well. But it's definitely going to be one of those two. I don't see anyone else in the bottom of that conference making a run. But yeah, breakdown segment a little bit quicker today, but I hope you guys still enjoyed it. Quick little Heisman discussion here. I still think that the number one is Ashton Jeanty for me. I think he's a ridiculously impressive player. I love what he's doing out on the field every week. Cam Ward, though, is now my number two. He is just putting up unreal numbers. He's creeping towards that number one spot for me. I would hate to see Jeanty lose it, but the way Ward is playing right now, it's hard to deny him that trophy. Travis Hunter is still in my three. He's playing very great football, too. Obviously, the two-way player thing is something that doesn't happen very often, and he's doing it incredibly well so far this season. Then Dylan Gabriel is just kind of the placeholder in the number four spot for me right now. But let's move on into our Week 11 picks and start off with Alabama at LSU. This is a game on paper that looks like Alabama all day. LSU has struggled with running quarterbacks a lot of the season. You saw it versus Marcel Reed and Texas A&M. And Alabama's playing really good football right now. They just murdered Missouri. They're coming off a bye week. But it's Death Valley at night. I think that Kalen DeBoer's first time there is not going to go especially well. I think LSU wins. I think the home environment carries them. I think that Garrett Nussmeier can have a good game. Caden Durham is an incredible running back. He's played better and better as the season has gone on. I would expect him to have a solid day as well. So give me LSU close, though, I think. Then Ole Miss at Georgia, another SEC matchup. A lot of the good games again this week are SEC. Georgia is a weird team. The defense has gotten much better since the start of the season. They're playing very good football right now. But the offense, Carson Beck is launching picks. The running game behind Trevor Etienne is really struggling. Now Etienne was banged up versus Florida. So what are you going to get from him moving forward? I'm not sure, but you can't expect the defense to win every game for you. I think they'll be good enough to win this one. I think you see Ole Miss kind of revert to type a little bit in this game and lose to Georgia, but we'll see what happens. I think this is definitely a game that Ole Miss has a chance in. I just don't think they're quite good enough. I think the Georgia defensive line is going to make it a long day for Jackson Dart. Number 23, Clemson, travels up to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech. If Clemson's not careful, this is their second loss in a row. I think they do win, but I think it's very, very close. Kyren Drones is playing solid football. Bring Tootin for Virginia Tech is a good running back as well. He's played solid this season. Clemson's going to need to be on their A game. I know the Inner Sandman up at Virginia Tech, it's a great atmosphere, one I've always wanted to go to, but I would expect Clemson to still pull out the win barely here. Game of the week in the Big 12 is number 20 Colorado at Texas Tech. Baron Morton, I think, makes this an interesting game. Taj Brooks as well. The Colorado defense has struggled off and on this season. Sometimes they've looked great, like versus UCF. Sometimes they've not looked great, like versus Kansas State. And I think that the Texas Tech offense is dynamic enough to give them a really long day. Baron Morton's going to play solid football. Taj Brooks is going to have a good day. But I think the Colorado offense is just too much. I think this is another close game, but give me the Buffaloes personally. The Group of Five game of the week for me is number 25 Army traveling to North Texas to take on the Mean Green. And Army better be careful because Chandler Morris will throw the ball all over the place on you if you are not. And I do think Army's a better team. I think Army is more physical. I think they play better defense. So I would expect them to be able to move the ball pretty well. It's just, can they contain Chandler Morris? I think the answer is yes. I think Army knocks off North Texas. And then finally, we got Miami at Georgia Tech. It's the last game we're going to be picking this week. Georgia Tech is a solid team. They've played decent football out of the year. Just Miami is better. This Miami offense is freaky. They've played great all season long. Cam Ward putting up video game numbers a lot of the season. Probably would be your Heisman if not for Ashton Ginty in my eyes right now. And so give me the Hurricanes for that one. But that is your quick picks for week 11 of the college football season. And that is it for State of the FBS this week. I know a little bit shorter than normal this week, so bear with me for that. But I am traveling to Houston this weekend, so not as much time to edit this as normal. But it'll still be out for you guys. Hope you enjoy it. And I'll see y'all again next week.